What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, it's been a while since we had any real news, but we do have some today. I know it's a couple days old, but we haven't got to talk about the Chargers deciding to bring back Damian Square. So I want to open up the show with that today. In the second segment, I want to get into some voicemails. I know you guys have been waiting to hear your voices on the show, so we have three voicemails today to talk about, one from Brian, one from Nam, and one from Barnaby. So we're going to do that in the second segment, and then we're going to wrap things up on today's show by talking about the post-draft power rankings. Chargers were ranked sixth in the ESPN's power rankings, and they also have the win projected total on there as well and their chances to make the playoffs. So we'll talk about whether we agree or disagree with that, obviously knowing that it's still very early in the offseason and so many things can change going into the regular season. But let's start with Damian Square. John, Damian Square is a guy who played a ton last year and was actually really up and down that defensive line, played some defensive tackle, played some defensive end. He wore a lot of hats last year on the Joey Bosa-less team. What did you think when you saw that the Chargers brought back Square on a one-year deal?
I thought, well, there goes all possibility of signing Sue. Yeah. There's no way of getting him now, but it's nice to have someone back that actually knows the system, so you're not having to learn all about a new player and how he fits, whether he's going to fit. You know what you get with Damian Square. He's decent depth. He could play anywhere along the defensive line, and he was a cheaper option than Sue also. So now you can sign other people on the team if you need to.
Yeah, and I mean, you're basically getting a starter from last year to come back on a one-year deal. I'm not saying that he played fantastically, but he did play 504 defensive snaps last year, which is more than half of their snaps. So that's a guy who's playing a ton on the defense. So you get another body in the rotation. And I really think, David, that last year, Damian Square really probably tried to do too much. I mean, they had him kind of losing weight to be a defensive end. They had him also playing defensive tackle. He never really stayed still and excelled at either position. But I think he was probably played a little bit too much. Hopefully now in a rotation, we can actually see some better play out of Damian Square.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely going to help, obviously. I think you're right. There was a little bit too much on his plate last year. But also, if last year was any indication, you can never have enough productive bodies on the defensive line because injuries happen. You know, you didn't have Joey Bosa for the first 10 weeks of the season. You know, that's not something that you anticipate, but the more bodies, the better quality depth, the more guys that understand how to play the system and provide versatility at multiple positions, that's something that you can always covet. And hey, when you can get it for probably, you know, a mil and a half, it's really, really good value. So I think it's a no-brainer bringing Square back. And, you know, John said, I think this takes away any possibility. Honestly, I don't think there wasn't any possibility to get Sue in the first place. But yeah, welcome back, Damian. Hopefully you get you in a rotation and, you know, get some better quality snaps out of you this year.
And I think as soon as they restructured / extended Travis Benjamin, Sue kind of went out the window just because they basically said, okay, we are going to pay Travis Benjamin here in this season. We're not going to take the hit and the dead money that comes along with releasing him, even if it does save us, you know, $5 million in cap space. And they also spent two draft picks on the defensive interior. But John, Damian Square is going to have to play better if this is going to be a positive signing. I mean, he just really never fit in anywhere. And if you like Pro Football Focus grades, I'm not going to get into the exact grades, but he ranked 110th in overall defense for interior defensive linemen, and he ranked 114th in run defense. So that's not really great numbers. I mean, those are almost Dan Feeney-esque numbers. But what do you think we have to see from Damian Square this year that we haven't seen before that can make him a valuable contributor?
You have to have somewhere close to the Darius Phylon type of production. I'm not saying to be exactly the type of production, because then you'd be paying him more if he had that. But if he can get somewhere close to it with tackles for loss and sacks and his penetration, I think you would call this signing a win. But we signed Mebane and we signed Square, and we did not sign Bylon. So we signed the two guys we least cared about and got rid of the one we did care about. So we have to somehow find a way for Square to live up to what Bylon had in the defensive line.
Well, as you know, even with the two guys that you drafted, it was still a relatively thin room at the defensive tackle position. Just when you think about the fact that, yes, you have Brandon Mebane, you have Jerry Tillery, who's recovering from surgery, should be back. But then it's a seventh-round pick in Cortez Broughton, and then Justin Jones and T.Y. McGill. So you really just needed another body in that room. But, David, I'll put it this way to you. There was two former Chargers defensive tackles on the market, Damian Square, and also Corey Legit. Are you glad that they got Square instead of Legit?
Yeah, I think there would be a money difference between Corey Legit and Damian Square, and I don't know if the production was really going to be too much different between the two. So, I mean, obviously, if injury happens, you know, he's another easy guy to sign. But I don't know, man. I think the ship has sailed on Corey Legit for me, and I'm ready for some fresh new blood, and hopefully we can get some better quality production from the defensive line.
John, would you go the same way if I asked you that same question?
Yeah, I would definitely go the same way, just because Square was cheaper and you can sign somebody in another position if you need to before training camp starts. It gives you more options, where if you'd sign Legit, it would cost him more money, and then you have less options of signing more players if you want to improve a position.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what that Legit deal looks like when it's all said and done. I have to believe that he will be on a roster and somebody will take a chance on him, because yes, he was hurt last year. Yes, he was suspended last year, but he was also productive in the games that he got into. So there's always going to be a place for productive interior defensive linemen. So he must be asking for a decent amount right now if he still remains unsigned, because you know there have to have been teams that knocked on that door with some interest. But Damian Square, I think at the end of the day, is not really a move to get super excited about or get super down about. I mean, I think best case scenario, he probably doesn't play anywhere near half the defensive snaps this year. Hopefully he's just a rotational guy and not a starter. He did have 3 sacks last year, so he showed a little bit of pass rush, but that was because he was on the field so much. So his one-on-one wins and plays like that were not very high. I hope for the best. I hope they can kind of find a role for him that works, because he has been a semi-productive player, and he's a guy that you can get something out of, I think, in the right situation. But I do want to get into the listener voicemails. We know you guys have been calling in a bunch, and we have a few that we've saved up to save for this show. So let's go ahead and get into the voicemails right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys about how you can boost your performance and get that extra confidence in the bedroom. And you can do it with Blue Chew. That's blue, like the color blue, at BlueChew.com. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable tablet with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. It'll probably just blend in with all of your girlfriend's other Amazon packages, so you will be good. No in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Nobody likes to talk about this stuff, and you don't have to with BlueChew.com. Just get it sent directly to your house. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. When you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free with only $5 of shipping when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. So that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Guys, this is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast, BlueChew.com. All right, guys, let's get back into it. We need to get into these voicemails, and we once again want to thank you guys for calling into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line, and you can be the next one to get your voice on the show if you want to call in at 323-524-7924. So we've had this one for a while, from Brian from Westminster, talking about a potential meetup with the Locked On Chargers host. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, guys. Brian out of Westminster, California here. Quick question. what would it take to kind of put together maybe a community-based event for all Locked On Charger fans, maybe to get together, exchange ideas? I know the podcast is kind of there for that, but maybe something that we can interact live and actually meet face-to-face and see who's actually like-minded like us and kind of interact and engage that way. Locked On Lakers did one. Anthony Irwin did one at Tom's Urban, I believe, in downtown. And although I couldn't make it, I really wanted to. I hear it was a really awesome event and a huge success. And a lot of the members got to put voices to names or faces to names, voices and stuff. So that was really cool. And you guys are super, very friendly and all around good guys. So I wanted to see maybe if we could put something like that together sometime soon. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Go Bolts. And I'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Well, first, I do want to say that, hey, this is a super cool idea, and we'd absolutely be willing to do something like that. We will definitely want to gauge the interest that if other fans want to get together and do something like this. There is one hang-up. David does live in Texas, but he does visit San Diego quite frequently, so we could absolutely set something up where David is in town. But, David, I think we all agree that we'd be down to do something like this if enough people were willing to go show up for it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the only thing is that, you know, if we coordinate something like this, we want to make sure that we have a good enough following that, you know, we're not going out here and just doing it for one or two people. You know, obviously we love all of our fans, but, you know, hey, I like you said, I do not live in California currently, but I am going to be in California in June, towards the last couple of weeks of June. So, you know, if, you know, we gauge interest and we get an amount of people that we feel comfortable with, and absolutely, we've done live podcasts before, so you know we'll definitely entertain the idea, but you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it would be definitely cool to meet some of you guys.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even it doesn't have to be 100s of people that show up, but if we get a good amount of people and you guys want to meet us and hang out and talk football, we're obviously down. We've already made some friends outside of this podcast. John, I know you and Lamwalk are pretty close now, so it's really cool, you know, meeting people that we hear from the show. And John and Lamwalk were just playing Madden together the other weekend, so it can definitely happen. But let's go ahead and get into Barnaby's call from a few days ago, talking a little bit about the draft and a little bit about the draft party up in Santa Monica.
Hey, fellas, this is Barnaby from the 805. Enjoying the podcast, as always. Hey, I'm really stoked on the pick for the Chargers. It was painful watching running backs go right up the middle on us. So I think Tillery will really add a lot of value to stopping the run. One thing I wanted to mention that is really cool for me to see, after Manning, you know, didn't want to be here, and Joey Bosa didn't want to be here, and their family members saying they don't want them to be there, it is really cool to see last year Derwin James super excited to be a Charger, and now seeing the footage of Tillery in Hawaii, how excited he is to be a Charger. He said he lost his mind when he found out he was coming. So I think just the excitement level is really cool. Nice to see players that want to be a Los Angeles Charger. And lastly, I want to ask you guys, I don't think you were at the draft party. I was there, thousands of fans. The support was really cool, 2 hours to get an autograph. Do you guys foresee, because I know you're all from San Diego, and there's still a lot of haters who don't think it's going to work, do you see the fan base growing, and do you think that our fan base is going to work up here in Los Angeles? I'd love to hear it, because I know that John goes to a lot of games at StubHub, and sometimes it can be an eyesore, but I really think a lot of fans who can't afford tickets to StubHub, the fan base is growing, and they're going to show up when we get the new stadium. So let me know your thoughts. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Go Bolts.
All right, guys. Well, we all know how we feel about Jerry Tillery. He's definitely a huge boost to this defense, and we've already really gotten into it, so we don't want to have to focus on that part. But we do agree with you, Barnaby, that it was a good pick. But let's talk about the Santa Monica draft party. John, that was a pretty good-sized following they had out there. I was actually, you know, pleasantly surprised that it actually – that people showed up for it.
I'm not surprised, and the reason why is because it was basically a free event, and it's a reason to go party and have fun and be around the Charger players. You have a chance at autographs and stuff. So it doesn't surprise me that a lot of people showed up. And I know I noticed that he said that more people are going to show up to the games and stuff, but we had a game this past year that was really cheap against the Cardinals, and the Chargers were actually winning at the time, and no one showed up for that game. So I'm really skeptical on how many people are actually going to show up to games when it actually has to do with money. How many people would have showed up to that draft party if it had cost to get in?
Oh, definitely. And I think that if you're the Chargers, you can't charge people to go to something like that. And hey, to their credit, that looked like a lot of fun. Their social media has become super likable with Megan over there over the last year. I mean, their off-season Twitter has just been on fire with some of the things that they've put out. So I have to give them credit there. I think it's way too soon to tell about what it's going to be like in LA. I think nothing that you've seen so far can really lead you to believing that you're going to get a strong fan base out there, that people are going to leave the other, you know, commodities in LA to go see your games. And you know, right now we're talking about a tiny stadium that John's talking about not being able to fill up. Now you're talking about an even more expensive ticket at a giant stadium. So I think it's way too soon to tell, but I was definitely surprised, and it actually looked like a blast. I wish I could have been there because it did look like a ton of fun. But we do have one more voicemail to get into, so let's go ahead and hear what Nam from Texas has to say about one of the Chargers games this season.
Nam from around Dallas, Texas. I have a question about Week 11, Chargers versus Chiefs in Mexico City. Is it better to play in a neutral site against the Chiefs where we don't have home field advantage and we take away Arrowhead Stadium's massive fan base, crowd noise, or is it not really an advantage to anybody since we're at a neutral site against the Chiefs and anything can happen? Thanks. Love you guys.
All right. Well, I'm really excited about that game, guys. You know, not really talking right now about the home field advantage or no home field advantage, but David, to have a primetime game like that in somewhere like Mexico, which is very close to us and you over there in Texas, I think that's just such a cool experience to be one of those teams that gets to play in that game. Because, hey, last year it was the Rams and the Chiefs.
Yeah, and that game didn't even happen because – unfortunately, yeah. Mexico did not, you know, get their things together with field preparation. Unfortunately, the field was not in good enough shape for the game to take place. So first and foremost, I got to make sure that they get that taken care of before we talk about a game. But, obviously, I don't think they're going to make the same mistake, you know, twice on that front. I mean, they lost a lot of money and a lot of notoriety. So I'm sure that, you know, second time around, they're going to make sure everything is picture perfect. And it's going to be a hell of a game. Now, as far as the no home field advantage type of thing, I think having it in a neutral site, it might be better because, you know, as John can attest to, you know, pretty much every home game, they were at a deficit as far as home fans to away fans. So, you know, I think having it in a, you know, neutral location where you're probably not going to have a lot Chiefs fans, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. But, hey, I think at the bottom, for the bottom line, I think it's just nice to see that the Chargers are getting the respect that they earned from last year's record, getting, you know, a couple of primetime games. And have one in Mexico City is definitely going to be good for the fan base as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be an advantage or disadvantage. I mean, you have both teams kind of traveling out of the country and going somewhere they're really not used to. But it's kind of hard, John, because the Chargers obviously had a fantastic record on the road last season. Every time they left L.A., they basically won up until they, you know, went and lost in New England. But I think that they've really thrived off that Kansas City fan base, and I think that kind of pumped them up. So I didn't necessarily see the Kansas City Chiefs fans as a huge advantage, at least last season.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were a big advantage. They were definitely loud. I went to that very first game of the season when they were all there, but they weren't really that loud, and the Chargers really just beat themselves. It wasn't even crowd noise that was a factor. It was just them beating themselves. And playing a neutral site can help because if you're not at Arrowhead, like Daniel was mentioning, you don't have to be around that extremely loud stadium that it's extremely hard to win at. Nobody basically wins there except for the Chargers, who somehow made a miracle last year. I don't know how they did that, but they won there for the first time in years. My problem with this year's neutral site is we're playing in Mexico City, where the elevation is around 7,000 feet, I believe it was last I checked. And you're going to have a hard time breathing when you play this game against a team that's full of speed. Even if Tyreek Hill doesn't play this year, that team is still full of speed, and you're going to have to somehow keep up with them with low oxygen. So that really worries me. If we were to play somewhere in the United States or somewhere else that's a lot less of a obstacle, if you will, with air quality or even temperature and weather, I think neutral site would help us a lot. I said on a past podcast that I think the Chargers play better on the road because they feel like the world is against them and they like that challenge. Whereas if when they play at home and nobody is at your own home stadium to support you, it feels like a downer.
Yeah, I definitely think that that showed up last year with their road record. And that's a good point you make about the altitude. Luckily, both teams will have to play in it, but I definitely get what you're saying about you're going up against an offense that likes to stretch you vertically and horizontally. So they have you running all over the field and run all sorts of weird plays. So that's definitely not good to go up against that specific team in Mexico City, but we'll have to see how it all plays out. But me personally, I'm very excited about that. And I think that's going to be one of my favorite games to watch of the season. But we do have one more segment we want to get into, talking about the Chargers power rankings and where they are post-draft, and what ESPN thinks their percentage is to make the playoffs. Coming up right after this. All right, guys, it's time to get into one of my favorite things. I think a lot of fans' favorite things, because as much as sometimes it's dumb to talk about power rankings, they're one of my favorite things to click on, and I don't mind saying that because it's just, you know, it's all potential, it's all hope from here. But Chargers fans might have gotten, you know, a little bit of a downer if they looked at the ESPN's latest post-draft power rankings, seeing that the Chargers are all the way down at sixth. And I know I say all the way down, which is seems laughable that sixth could be all the way down, but I think a lot of fans have high expectations for this season. So before we get into the playoff percentages, the first five teams on that specific list are the Chiefs at number one, Saints two, Rams three, Patriots four, Colts five, and then the Chargers rounding it up at six. So, John, when you see that and when you see those teams specifically ahead of the Chargers, what does it make you think?
Can't argue with it. The Chiefs offense team is pretty dynamic, pretty amazing. What they showed last year, the real question is Tyreek Hill, but even then they still have so much speed and talent, and Patrick Mahomes did a lot of amazing stuff. Even if it wasn't the Tyreek Hill, he found somebody to catch that ball. So I can't argue with the fact that the Chiefs are above the Chargers, but to see that they're down at six, you could argue that they could be top five, but you could also argue that they could be lower because if we didn't really improve our offensive line last year. We didn't improve our offensive line from last year, so that really bothers me to see if we could even be a top 10 team unless somehow that offensive line picks it up. We were reluctant to win some of the games last year, in my opinion.
Yeah, but they were a top 10 team last year with that offensive line. So, yes, really the only big thing and the thing you have to hope for the most is that Forrest Lamp just comes back and is, you know, one of their best linemen. And I know a lot of people, and someone was giving us grief about, you know, our love for Forrest Lamp. But right now with the options that the Chargers have on the table, I don't think any of us think Trey Pipkins is going to start this year at any point. And that's really the only hope that we have. Like, we have to hope that Forrest Lamp is the answer, because, and it's not unfounded, he hasn't had a fully healthy offseason until this year, so this is his first real chance to go in there and win a job, and he was the best offensive lineman coming out of his draft, according to a lot of experts, so it's not unfounded to think that he could be one of the Chargers' better offensive linemen and make that offensive line better. But I think what this also shows you, too, is that the AFC is loaded. I mean, you have the Chiefs right there. You have the Patriots, who are always there. You have the Colts, who finished last year as one of the hottest teams in the NFL. So I think the AFC West is loaded. David, do you think six is about right for the Chargers in the power rankings?
Yeah, I do, because I mean, I share the same kind of fears about the offensive line. I mean, like you said, we all love Forrest Lamp, but Forrest Lamp hasn't really been given the opportunity to really start. Anthony Lynn said last year he's not going to really mess with the chemistry of the line in the middle of the year, even though we all know that, there were some obvious deficiencies. So this is going to be his first real opportunity to come in and earn a job. I think he has to do it now. And if he doesn't, then, he's going to get left behind. So, but because they did not address that issue, they did some good things on the defensive side, but, I think, protecting your, 15-year NFL quarterback is going to be was the bigger need at the time. But, obviously, we'll see what happens.
I think six is about right, at least on this list. If you look at other power rankings, some people have it different. I do think the Tyreek Hill is a giant unknown that could majorly shake up this list. But the fact remains that we don't know what's going to happen with him, and they still, in the Chiefs, have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, maybe the second best quarterback in the league if you think Tom Brady is number one. That's how good Patrick Mahomes is, and if you have a really good quarterback and a coach like that that knows how to coach offense, they're going to score a lot of points, which is going to get them a lot of wins with or without Tyreek Hill. But I think six is about right with the question marks that remain for this team, not knowing what they're going to do between now and the start of the regular season. But this also has the projected win totals for every team on this list. So let's go ahead and get into the Chargers' projected win totals, David. They have it pretty low, I mean, at least compared to the other teams that are on this power rankings. This has the Chargers winning 8.8 games this season, and also with a 49.7 chance to make the playoffs.
That's laughable. I mean, when you first told me that, I was like, that can't be right. I mean, you think a 12 win team is going to go down to an 8 or 9 win team? No, they got better. I mean, obviously, with the offensive line that they had last year, they won 12 games. So, yeah, and they had issues on the defensive side that they at least from an outside perspective looks like they fixed. So, I mean, I think the defense just got better. And if they get any type of better production off the offensive line, they're going to win more games. I mean, I think it's, an interesting schedule. I don't know if it's a more difficult schedule, but I definitely cannot even fathom the possibility of 8 or 9 wins. I think that's just crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, this is a projected win total, and there are a lot of tough teams on their schedule, including the Chiefs twice. So I think that plays a big part of it. I think this list is basically saying, hey, the Chiefs are basically going to win the division, so you're fighting for a wild card spot, which is a much harder way to make the playoffs. And like I said before, the AFC is loaded. You have pretty much 4 teams locked into playoff spots, and then another 4 teams that'll be right there challenging for the wild card with some up-and-coming teams in some of these divisions. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I would put my I would put my projected win total somewhere around 10. I think that's much more realistic because, let's be honest, John, last year the Chargers were a bounce or two away from losing 3 of those wins, potentially. So I think their record in one-score games last year kind of was a bounce back from all the years previous where they basically lost every one-score game. But I think it's going to come back to around the median and be somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're going to win all of those close games like they did last year with some tough teams on their schedule. So I think 50%, I would put it closer to, I think they have like a good 60% chance to make the playoffs, which is a lot better than it seems when the number one team has an 80%. So I think that's about 60% would be my answer, John. What do you think?
I would agree with that. The wild card is a hard thing to win. There's a lot of teams that are going to be fighting for that. I mean, hell, the Browns look a lot better just on paper right now, and you got to imagine
that
the Steelers or the Ravens are probably the front runner to win the division still, regardless. So you're going to be fighting for with them and maybe the Ravens and the Steelers, whichever one doesn't make it for a wild card spot. So the fact that you have to fight for a wild card spot puts your percentage really low. If you're favored to win your division, it puts your percentage really high because it's basically you win, you're in versus tiebreakers and all this other stuff that go with being a wild card team. And looking at the schedule, I can already see like maybe 5 to 6 games right now that look like automatic losses just on paper alone. So I can see where they're coming from with this average of 8 wins and stuff. I mean, yeah, we were a 12-win team last year, but like you said, we could have lost a lot more of those games. I mean, the Niner game with a tip pass to Rochelle, this 2-point conversion by the Titans, the Seahawks not converting on 4th-and-1 with 2 chances. There's just so many games that we shouldn't have won that we somehow did win. The Chiefs in Arrowhead, the Steelers on the road.
Yeah, and I think what the Chargers did last year was they, no matter how it got done, they took care for the most part of the teams that they should beat, except for, you know, with the exception of that Broncos game. And they also won a couple of games that really no one thought they would win, with the Steelers game and also that game in Kansas City. So with this schedule, I think it's going to have to be the same. I think you need to take care of your division games and try to go 5-1 in the division to give you a good head start. Try to split the series with the Chiefs and sweep the Raiders and the Broncos, because you need all of those wins with the rest of the teams that you have on the schedule, like the Packers, like the Bears, like the Steelers again. You're the only one that's scared of that game. I'm still not scared of that game. So I think this is one of the worst Miami teams that we've seen in a long time. So I'm not looking at that as a automatic loss, even though the Chargers' record in Miami is not good at all, and they haven't won there in a long time. But I think that out of all of the games, that's one of the ones that least concerns me, because there is so many other quality opponents on that schedule this year. So I'm not outraged at where the Chargers end up on these lists and their percentages. I mean, most of the teams in the top 10 in the power ranking have better chances to make the playoffs because they don't have the team who's considered the best team in their division with the Chiefs. So I think that's what really hurts their chances right there. But if you can take care of, if the Chargers play at their best and they don't suffer any major injuries, I don't think there's any reason to think that they're not going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. So I think that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Make sure, if you don't already, to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, so you can get the podcast out to you the night before everyone else gets it on the rest of social media. And hey, we did some voicemails on this show, so we want to thank everyone that called in and put their voice on the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. And if you want to be the next one on there, make sure to call 323-524-7924. All right, guys, we will talk to you later. Take it easy and go Bulls.